This is Radio Superior 1941, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1941. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes, this is Station KUWS. It's Tuesday, May 13th, 1941. Your announcer, Jack McKenna, speaking. Lou Martin is standing by with stunning news from Britain, followed by great music. We've got the whole gang in today, dressed in overalls and ready to kick off the annual cleanup, paint up the town campaign, folks. It's a great way to get ready for summer. It'll be fun, as long as it isn't too much work.
I'm not a big fan of overalls.
Oh, that's Lou Martin, folks. He'll be in with the Roth 6 o'clock news in a moment. Roth says Benjamin Moore house paints for just $2.95 a gallon. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Rudolf Hess is a prisoner in Glasgow, Scotland, the number three Nazi behind only Reichsmarshal Hermann Goering and Adolf Hitler, flew from Germany to the British Isles Saturday night, crash-landed his plane, and was taken prisoner by a local farmer at the point of a pitchfork. We begin our World Shortwave News Roundup from London.
This is London calling, Webb Miller reporting. Police officials here say the capture of Rudolf Hess 3 nights ago may alter the course of the European war. His capture was kept a secret until today. Even now, many questions crop up over his amazing journey. Hess left on his four-hour journey from Augsburg, Bavaria, in a Messerschmitt fighter plane, flew under cover of darkness, parachuting from his plane moments before it crashed into a Scottish moor. Farmer David McLean took the cooperative prisoner at the point of his pitchfork. Reliable London quarters interpreted this flight as proof that Germany can no longer win this war with Britain. In light of increased aid from the United States and no invasion by Germany, one source says Hess would not have come to Britain if he believed Hitler could win the war. British Minister of Information, Alfred Duff Cooper, told a jubilant luncheon in London today that this was the first breach of the Nazi Party since Hitler murdered a huge block of his own party on June 30th, 1934. This is in reference to what is known as the Night of the Long Knives, a blood purge which Hess helped Hitler execute orders and to kill political competitors and leaders of the Brown Shirts, longtime supporters of the Nazi Party. Hess also acted as secretary while Hitler wrote Mein Kampf in Landsberg Prison. He's one of Hitler's oldest friends and a member of the Nazi inner circle. Hitler named him the second in line to lead Germany if Hitler were to die. The hope in London is that Hess will reveal important wartime secrets. In London, this is a jubilant Webb Miller reporting. Calling Berlin. Come in, Max Jordan.
This is the Third Reich. Max Jordan reporting. A Nazi party communique states simply that Rudolf Hess is living under the hallucination that he was still able to bring an understanding between Germany and Britain. This communique continued, saying that Rudolf Hess for years suffered physically and recently started consulting with mesmerizers and astrologers for help. They say mental derangement set him off on this idealistic but misguided mission of peace. Meanwhile, Adolf Hitler took over leadership of the National Socialist Party, which was the duty of Hess as the Führer's deputy. Martin Bormann now will assume some of Hess's other duties. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan. Calling Scotland, come in Glasgow.
This is Scotland. Lewis Lochner here in Glasgow to tell you about the man who captured Rudolf Hess. His name is David McLean, and he tells an incredible story about the polite parachutist who surrendered cheerfully. Mr. McLean says his pitchfork prisoner seemed a man of culture, but he thought he was just another German flyer shot down. Farmer McLean says he heard a plane roar overhead, ran from his farmhouse, and saw it crash in flames 200 yards away. Then he saw a parachutist coming down slowly. As he tells it, he ran back to his house for a weapon, but could only find a hay fork. taking that, Mr. McLean dashed out into the field and found his prisoner, docile and smiling. He helped the pilot to his feet and noticed he had injured his ankle when he landed. Mr. McLean took Rudolph Hess to his farmhouse and notified authorities. Since the hour was late, his mother and sister awoke from their sleep. They offered Herr Hess some tea. He smiled, declined the tea, and asked for water instead. Apparently, Herr Hess chatted freely with the McLeans, even showing them pictures of his young son. Hess speaks English fluently, although with a decided German accent. Mr. Hess told Farmer McLean his name was Captain Albert Horn. They didn't find out the importance of his capture until late the next day. Hess had been moved to a secret holding location and is believed held in Glasgow. In Glasgow, this is Lewis Lochner speaking.
The publisher of the St. Paul Dispatch Pioneer Press says that Hess may have been on an adventure trip. Bertie Ritter first met Hess in 1922 in Munich, and frequently after that. He says that Hitler had the utmost confidence in Hess. He thinks he made the risky journey, convinced that he could help Hitler reach a peace with Great Britain. Mr. Ritter says he can't believe that Hess would betray or abandon Hitler. In the Mideast, Iraq says it will accept Turkey's invitation to mediate her guerrilla war with Great Britain. Sporadic fighting centered on the British airdrome near Baghdad. It's been underway for 2 weeks. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these important words from our sponsor.
Right you are, Roo. Yes, I have quite a few things to say here about Roth's paint department, if you don't mind. For example, their big sale now on the fix-up, clean-up, you know you do it. Lawn hose 25 feet complete with couplings, $1.59. Can you believe that? No excuse not to water the lawn now. 50 feet complete with couplings at $2.95. Vigoro, the secret of beautiful flowers and a lovely lawn. $1.50 for liquid veneer combinations. In the paint department, primer and sealer just $2.35 a gallon. Get down there yourself today and find out what it's all about at Roth's in Superior.
The Lake Superior Shipbuilding Company has been ordered to reinstate 10 men that were fired after they asked for pay raises. The Wisconsin Employment Relations Board ordered the Superior Company to cease unfair labor practices and give the workers back pay from when they were discharged January the 30th. The International Brotherhood of Boilermakers and Iron Shipbuilders report that Emin Collins, Leonard Carlson, George Harstead, Reynolds Gustafson, William Kirk, Chester Hammer, Leonard Matson, Gunnar Gunderson, and Clarence Rasmussen will be rehired immediately. Navigation through the Great Lakes, St. Lawrence Seaway, from the Atlantic Ocean, could begin 4 years after Congress authorizes money to build it. That's the opinion of the chief engineer of the project, Colonel J.A. Grant, who was in Superior today. Colonel Grant says 300 workers are drawing specifications to build this 40-mile section where the water level drops rapidly. The cost is estimated at a staggering $266 million. It would employ thousands of men and guarantee deep water ships a 27-foot draft of water. The Seaway would open the Great Lakes to international cargo ships. This year looks like it'll be record-breaking for iron ore production on Minnesota's three iron ranges. KUWS radio reporter Mike Simonson has that story.
Good evening, Lou. Minnesota's iron ranges have taken on a whole new significance with the speeding up of the national defense efforts. From the yawning open-pit mines of northern Minnesota, workers will take out a fourth of all the iron ore to be used in the United States this year. Mining experts think 55 million tons of ore will be shipped by rail from the range to the Twin Ports. From here, it's taken by ship across the Great Lakes to Eastern States. steel centers. Their previous record was 49 million tons. That was set in 1937. The major iron ranges in Minnesota are the Mesabi, the Vermilion, and the Cuyuna ranges. The largest of these is the Mesabi Range, led by the Mahoning Mine. 260 million tons of ore have been removed from the Mahoning Mine since it opened in 1895. This is a huge operation, Lou. The Mahoning Mine is 2.5 miles long, half a mile wide, and 400 feet deep. Superior has the largest ore dock out in Eloise. There, the 8-story-high pier extends half a mile into Superior Bay. During the shipping season, the Eloise docks average loading 13 ore carriers every day, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. Democracy and education, the present crisis, will be the theme of this year's graduation at Superior's East High School. Principal A.T. Conrad says commencement will take place June the 4th in the school auditorium. The commencement speakers include Nancy Harper. She'll speak on discipline in democracy. Theodore Scanlon will talk about the creed of democracy. Mariel Fonger will address education in democracy, while Valerie Johnson's speech is entitled Tragedy in Democracy. The Reverend C.H. Henderson of the South Range Presbyterian Church will address the class of 1941. And like people all around the globe, Superiorites speculated on the significance of Rudolf Hess's trip to Glasgow, Scotland. Of course, no one can be sure until we find out more about this strange case, Jack.
All I can say, Lou, is that it looks like things are in a mell of a Hess.
I guess you've been waiting for that opening all day.
10-4, Lou. That's Lou Martin, the best newsman around, even if he can be in a mell of a Hess sometimes. Now let's check that forecast for this Tuesday, May the 13th, 1941. Possible showers and thunder boomers tonight and tomorrow. And it'll be a bit cooler, too, friends. Today's high temperature was 64 degrees. All right, friends, let's kick things off with Flatfoot Floogy with a Floy Floy by Benny Goodman and his orchestra on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Flatfoot Floogy with Floy Floy. Thank you.
Well, that's the sound of Benny Goodman, friends, with Flatfoot Fluji, with a Floy Floy on station KUWS. That may not rank for stardust, but it's a fun piece of music. Say, folks, with this being clean-up paint-up week, the good people at Rockwood Store are offering pansies for just 15 cents a dozen and asters for 15 cents a dozen at Rockwood Store, Broadway and Tower, and the greenhouse is at 24th and Elmira. I love pansies, Lou, but don't know what asters are. Well, anyway, we've caught the cleanup crews coming in next. Fittingly, here's Vaughn Monroe and his big hit Red Roses for a Blue Lady on the Martin and McKenna Show.
I want some red roses for a blue lady. Mr. Forrest, take my order, please. We had a silly quarrel the other day. Hope these pretty flowers chase her blues away. Wrap up some red.
Sorry, folks, the deep tones of Vaughn Monroe and Red Roses for a Blue Lady.
All right, McKenna. I've been told you're in my paint-up and clean-up group. I don't take slackers. Is that clear?
If you allow me, sir, this is Douglas County Draft Board Number 2 Chairman Joe Raffaele.
You know, I don't care if it's fighting the Hun in the Argonne or bobbing for apples at the Labor Day picnic. My team finishes first. You want to know what my secret is?
Your subtle ways of motivation?
Still the smart guy, huh? Gardino?
I'm Gardonio, chief engineer in charge.
And I'm Martin.
You are not. That's me.
What matters here is that my team wins. I'll tell you what makes my team winners. I'm a good judge of abilities. And judging by the overalls you've got on, Martin, painting is not your specialty.
I'm Martin. McKenna is the guy with the messy overalls.
And Mr. Messy Smarty Pants here, that's McKenna?
Me. My overalls have seen me through a few painting projects, sir. It shows that I like to paint.
Looks to me like you like it too much. And you, Martin.
Yo.
more of that subtle motivation.
You're on painting detail. McKenna, you're going to be on scraping detail. And Gardini Danio, you'll be doing the cleaning. Our assignments. The outside door and stairwell to the apartment building next door to the radio station.
It's Gardonio, and engineers do not clean.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. When he's done fixing something, there are pieces of this and that littered all over the place.
Well, I beg your pardon.
It's true. After you fixed that wire machine, you left greasy fingerprints all over. I got grease on my nice new pants.
If you girls are about done...
Let old messy pants here roll on with another number. Here's a big one from Glenn Miller and his orchestra and Elmer's Tune on the Martin and McKenna Show.
A fella start thinking of falling in love.
It's not the season, the reason is plain as a moon.
It's just Elmer's tune.
What makes a lady of 80 go out on the loose? Why does a gander meander in search of a goose?
What puts the kick in a chicken, the magic in June? It's just Elmer's tune.
Listen, listen, there's a lot you're liable to be missing.
Sing it, swing it, any old way and any old time.
The hurdy-gurdies, the birdies, the cop on the beat, the candy maker, the baker, the man on the street.
The city charmer, the farmer, the man in the moon. I'll sing Elmer's tune. Birdie, girdies, the birdies, the cop on the beat.
The city charmer, the farmer, the man in the moon.
All sing Elmer's tune. They all sing Elmer's tune. They all sing Elmer's tune. Sing Elmer's tune.
Another hot number from Glenn Miller and his orchestra featuring the Modern Airs. That's Elmer's tune. Draft Board Chairman Raffley is still among us.
Yeah, and I have an important message to pass along. Westland Hardware is your home of Marshall Wells paint. The paint that covers in one coat and has more lead in it than a tackle box full of sinkers. That's Westmoreland Hardware and Marshall Wells paint.
Yeah, nice job there, Raffy. I expect people to buy paint with you as the pitchman. You gotta learn finesse. Like this. Get your paint at Westland Hardware because they got the best selection of all the colors of Marshall Wells paint. It'll go on in one coat, and even if it's cold and you need two coats, your walls won't. How's that?
Are you done? You're no Eddie Cantor, I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. Yeah. I can read an ad better than you ever thought.
Oh, yeah. Who taught you how to read?
Who decided to put these two guys together anyway?
I did. I think it's kind of fun.
You two boys, stop that. I think you'd better go next door and start working. We'll be along in a minute.
Oh, yes, Miss Farrig. Sorry, Miss Farrig.
How does she do that?
Search me.
Some people got it, and some people don't.
Let me introduce community editor Harriet Farrig.
Thank you, Lewis. Did you know that the annual cleanup paint-up was founded by a St. Louis man in 1912? It was the vision of Mr. Alan Clark. He had been a school teacher and newspaper editor and merchant. That instilled in him a strong sense of civic duty and idealism. His idea blossomed not only in the United States, but in Canada and Europe, too. It appeals to our desire for cleanliness and better living. So let's not forget Mr. Alan Clark of St. Louis. The National Defense Mothers Club of Superior has 120 names of local boys in the service. New to the list this week include Keo Westman, Robert Pollock, Glenn Stack, Peter Menzel, and, goodness, Shirley Smith. So remember, men and women are in the service of our country. And finally, boys, a true romantic story of the boy marrying the girl next door. A late June wedding is planned for Miss Irene Walker, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Charles Walker of 2004 Butler Avenue. Miss Irene will be united with Norman Hartman, son of Mrs. Lewis Hartman, 1927 Butler Avenue. Isn't that sweet, Lewis?
Yes, congratulations to both of them, if you like that kind of thing. Say, speaking of next door, I wonder how the cleanup is going.
Not to change the subject or anything.
We'll find out soon enough, if they're not still arguing. Let's listen to a fine number from the Tommy Dorsey Band, appropriately enough for the soon-to-be betrothed couple and the now nervous Lewis. This is I'm Getting Sentimental Over You on the Martin and McKenna Brotherly Love Show.
Thank you.
That's Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra. His signature song, I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, on station KUWS. A piece has settled over the radio station.
Mr. Raffley is showing Joe how to clean under the stairwell of that apartment complex, so it can be ready by the time that we get off the air for you to scrape and me to paint.
I thought we had people who did that sort of thing for us.
This is what volunteering is all about, Jack. Chipping in to help your neighbor and make our community look good after a hard winter. Nothing like a good coat of paint to make the spirits soar.
I don't see Joe or Mr. Raffley by the porch anymore.
We got out of there in the nick of time.
Well, at least they're not arguing anymore. Hey, guys.
Well, that was quick work.
Well, you see, we're not exactly done with the cleanup part of that stairwell.
Not exactly, no. We figured we'd take a break, right?
You worked 5 whole minutes, and now you're taking a break?
We ran into some complications. Complications,
that's a good word. The eight-legged kind.
You mean to tell me that 2 men, an engineer in charge, and the draft board chairman, are afraid of spiders?
Spiders? Yeah. Hey, I'm one of those guys. I hate spiders.
Well, then, listen. These weren't just any old spiders, no, sirree, Bob.
I thought he was Jack. Joe's right. It is dark and kind of scary under that stairwell, and, well, we drew straws, and I lost.
So he went in first, and, tell him the story, Raffy. You tell him.
Oh, I was crawling under that stairwell on my belly like some type of reptile, you know, just like
a crippled minnow. He was flopping underneath there.
Just like we did in the trenches back in no man's land fighting a Kaiser. Then, bam!
Oh, boy!
Goodness!
Yipe!
Yeah, there, staring me right in the face was the biggest arachnid I've ever seen. I'm telling you, the hair, it stood right up on my back.
Oh, you should have seen that thing. That hair was pretty scary, too. His shirt came rippling over his back.
And then, listen, it jumped me right then and there. That creature lunged for me. It jumped me right then and there. That creature lunged for me.
Oh, I saw it all. I tell you, that thing, it jumped like Johnny Weissmuller swimming for the Olympic gold, I tell you. That spider was this big, too. Huge.
Oh, bigger than that.
Oh, it was big.
A little spider. 2 grown men afraid of a little spider.
I swear one of its eyes winked at me.
Oh, big spider. Oh, yeah. Big.
Yeah, so we came back for reinforcements.
I'm getting my baseball bat before I go back in there. We figured, maybe Lou or Jack would go in first this time, you know.
Jack, you go ahead. I'll watch your back.
Oh, no. I hate things with more legs than me.
Well, I'll tell you what, and this one had bony, ugly, hairy knees, too.
Well, in all my days. Oh, give me a broom and a dustpan. Well,
great. Good idea. But you'll want some sort of protection, like a helmet and goggles.
And gloves and an overcoat.
This is exciting, if not embarrassing.
And galoshes.
Oh, boy. Stay tuned for H.V. Kaltenborn edits the news. Then Fibber McGee and Molly, followed by a talk by the Prime Minister of Australia at 8 o'clock. And we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. That is, the good Lord willing.
Oh, big spider. It was big.
And our courage holds out. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna wishing you one and all a good night.
Hey, whose apartment complex is this anyway that we're risking all our personal safety for?
That's a good question.
Well, the sign out front said Newton something.
George G. Newton?
Of George G. Newton Realty?
Why isn't he here then?
Apparently, because he's smarter than us.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1941. An original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen. All events reported on Radio Superior 1941 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior.
This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.